You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm gonna reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast. Paul Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome back to another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly news and commentary for the world of professional wrestling. Back for yet another great show. We've got some really sad news to get things started, but before we get into all of that and our Road to WrestleMania report and our promo of the week, my name's Aljon Goh, lifelong wrestling fan, and always joined by my cohort in crime, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
I'm good this morning. I'm very good.
It's been an interesting week for me, with work, but, as every week is, you just learn to adapt and overcome.
That's absolutely how it is. Yeah, man.
And speaking of adapting and overcoming, there's going to be a lot of that going on in the world of professional wrestling this week. We have our wrestling headline news, and we have a lot of it. So let's dispense with the pleasantries and launch into the news.
This week in wrestling news.
Mr. Stephen Anthony, we're going to start off with a little sad note tonight.
Well, it's all over the internet, obviously, at this point. Perro Aguayo Jr. has passed away tragically in the ring in Mexico. Wrestlers have passed away in the ring before. One of the Moondogs, I believe, did from a heart attack, Gary Albright. There were a couple of other instances. There was one gentleman in Mexico who's very popular. And Misawa, one of the most popular and most amazing, phenomenal wrestlers that I've ever seen in Japan, died in their ring. And this death was very similar to that. Perro Aguayo Jr., I don't really want to focus on what happened, because that's what everyone's talking about. People that know me and know that I am a wrestling historian and all this stuff are asking me about it. And they're saying things like, I got an email this morning saying, oh, I heard they kept doing the match after the guy died. And it's like, no, you don't understand, And I did watch the clip a few times, and I wouldn't really suggest to anybody to watch it. It's very unpleasant. And, it's a very sad thing, and it's actually probably one of the most crippling things I've ever seen to happen to a promotion. AAA was on its way to having one of their biggest years. They had a bus accident earlier in the week where they had 30 people on a bus. They had a storm in Mexico, so their big show in Rey de Reyes, I believe that's the name of the city, was postponed. This was Rey Mysterio's big show we were talking about. And his coming back to Mexico after getting out of his contract, it was postponed until Tuesday, and they later flipped that to Wednesday. In doing that, they chartered a bus in town. That bus had an awful crash. A woman in the promotion that was very heavily involved in the front office passed away. 30 people were injured. And that was looking like a bad week right there. And then Perro Aguayo dies in the ring, essentially from whiplash. Now, there's a couple of different reports. From what I understand, he had an awful neck. And take it from me, these guys take some bumps over in AAA. AAA is extremely similar to ECW right now, or what ECW was in 96, 97. They're taking bumps. They're gashing their heads open. And they have a phenomenal promotion. And Conan does a spectacular job. And they had El Patron now coming in who's all over the place. And he's not only all over the place, he's in every damn main event.
Yeah.
And El Patron versus Pedro Aguayo was going to be one of their big feuds. So he was starting off a feud with Mystices, which is Sin Cara. We kind of made fun of his name before, and he had to change it from Mystico. So, by the way, this gentleman would go as Sin Cara, the first Sin Cara, not the one with the tattoo. And we make fun of that with our intro on the mem. I blink it. Camacho plays him now. Am I right about that?
That's right.
Sin Cara, the first one. Mystico, the main eventer, babyface. And Mystices, the same guy currently in AAA. Okay, that's complex, but that's... This guy is one of the best. And Pedro Aguayo, one of the greatest heels in the business in a long time in the past. He's been a main eventer for 20 years. Started in 1995 at the age of 15 years old. His first match was on the internet with Juventud Guerrero. So he came in with that whole crew.
Nice.
Mid-90s crew. But he stayed in... Mexico, and there's a match from, I believe it's February 21st or 28th, very recent main event from AAA. We were talking about it last night. That's so phenomenal as a heel, his facial expressions, and it just made me realize this is the type of heel, the type of mechanical heel, who if WWE had right now, they would have nothing but great main events with John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Lesnar, Ambrose, those guys could all be baby faces working against a heel like him, and every main event would be great, and they would draw more money. That's actually what they're lacking, a guy like Pedro Aguayo. And unfortunately, AAA will now, I don't even know what they're going to do. The funeral's today.
I've got a little something from the Torch. It says, promoter Ignacio Delgado noted that Mexican wrestling legend Pedro Aguayo has not been informed of his son. Has not been informed of his son's death due to concerns over his health. Let's see. Promotion says they're taking care of funeral expenses, and Aguayo Jr.'s body will be transported to Guadalajara in Jalisco.
Yeah.
And they said Delgado said the promotion is assuming responsibility for the death and will pay for what is determined to be required out of respect for Aguayo Jr. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And this Aguayo came out.
Has a history of bad concussions, an incredible main eventer in his own right. The Ric Flair of Mexican wrestling was his father, Pero Sr. And he's in bad shape from those concussions. So that's going to be, it's just all bad. This whole thing is terrible.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they actually talked to, or they actually had a segment of Pero Aguayo Sr. In a Lucha documentary that you can find on Netflix. I believe it's about the history of Lucha, if you can find out, which is really good, by the way. But yeah, this is a sad story to note, but of course not all uncommon. You have, performers always say, and you know, you and I have been in the music business, we're still in the music and in entertainment industry. Yes. And, I had a friend pass away a few years ago on stage at a gig, and he was taken to the hospital, and he passed away. But I guess if that's if it's your time to go, you might as well go doing something you love.
Yeah.
So more details on that, I'm sure, will come to light in the days and hours to come. Anything else to wrap up that particular story?
I would just tell everybody not to focus on, let's go on the internet and watch something. Go on YouTube and watch Aguayo versus Mystices from AAA Wrestling. It's February 28th, 15th. So if you search that, 2/28/15, Aguayo Mystices, which is spelled MYZTEZIZ. There's a lot of Z's in that name.
That's a lot of Z's.
In our hearts and our prayers go out to him, and his family, and AAA and Rey Mysterio. Goodness gracious. This is such a – what an incredible human being he's always been. All of the charitable work he's done, the way kids perceive him, the way he made it through his injuries and long contract negotiations to have this happen. And I just want to be specific, anybody that did not watch the clip. He does not give him a 619. I just want to make that clear. He's so athletic, at this last split second, Manic, who we all probably know from TNA, seems to give him a signal, and he deliberately misses him, goes over his head, which he's never done. So at that split second, he did – that was the spot they were setting up for. He had a terrible neck. By the way, do you remember when Edge retired out of the blue? Or when Steve Austin changed his match style? Okay, this is what could have happened to them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, Aguayo, let's remember him for his incredible feuds with Mystico. Let's remember him for being one of the best heels in the history of the business, because that's what's important. Let's not remember him for some stupid clip. It's not a stupid clip, but people want to talk about it because everybody loves the internet. So,
Steven, I think the great thing is that I think you just coined a new thing, match of the week. We'll go ahead and put that link in the show notes. Aguayo versus Mestizos from AAA from February 28th of this year, 2015. If you're listening to this,
I will say one thing about this match. if you don't like blading or blood, I probably would go ahead and give it a miss.
At the end of the match, bloody.
He's so bloody by the end of the match, and he sees one of his – this is so Paraguayo-like. And maybe it's a bit morbid in retrospect, but I got to say, he goes up to this kid. I would say the kid's 14. The kid has a Aguayo shirt on. He's like, hey, and he's bladed like Ric Flair style.
Yeah, he's Crimson Mask.
Right, very much. Crimson neck and chest. He goes up to the kid. He wipes his brow and he smears his own blood on the kid's shirt as a memento, I guess. And I was just like, this guy's something else. But even the language barrier, his facial expressions, just watch his facial expressions. And watch his match rate combined with his hardcore ethic. AAA is a wild promotion. They had a balcony dive of 15 or 20 feet, like New Jack style, on a match before this one. So they're wild, man, and I just hope that they can recover from – I don't know what they're – it's going to be hard to psychologically move on. But Conan is a man's man, and he'll figure it out.
Conan is great, and not only is he doing great work with Lucha Underground, but great work for AAA. Yeah. The other big thing that I heard about this week regarding AAA, and you talked about setbacks and tragedy after tragedy, how about the fact that Alberto Del Rio, also blew his quad?
Yeah.
So he's going to be out for a while, and this is a guy, as you said, who is everywhere. He's in a Ring of Honor. He's in AAA. He's just everywhere. Lucha Underground, so.
Well, that's bad news. That's bad news for El Patron Del Rio, because when you're not in that machine, the Vince machine, you really don't get paid. Now, he has money, but that's the danger of going independent, Look what happened to Ric Flair. He's a great example. The incredible match in 2008. This incredible main event. He retires. Incredible ceremony. He splits from the company, and he's on his hands and knees literally a year and a half later asking Dixie Carter for a contract, because he wasn't in their machine anymore. And that's the risk that you go with. But sad circumstances. I hope Rey Mysterio is okay. He'll probably take some time off. Sad, man. So,
I saw all the press junkets he did for AAA and the AAA management and, all the stuff he did. And I didn't even put the captions on, I was like, okay, cool. All the pomp and circumstance involved with the signing of that magnitude. And, well, once again, we wish the family and everyone involved in that promotion just the very best. And so, moving on from this tragedy, we do have other news. It is the road to WrestleMania. Steven, I'll let you go ahead and helm the rest of this because you've got a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to chime in like Jerry Lawler, except I'm not all into.
No, don't do that.
I'm gonna cut myself off. So go ahead.
Since you brought up Lawler, there is a Lawler DVD coming out.
Well, that's good.
I don't really have a lot to say about that. They don't have a lot of Memphis stuff on it. But if you want to go to YouTube, and this could be a match of the week coming up, Jerry Lawler versus Ric Flair. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Gotta watch this from Memphis. And I won't. We'll talk about that next time, maybe. So good.
Okay.
That's coming out just off the top of my head. The big news is the Brock Lesnar contract deal. So here are the circumstances. Now we're going to surmise for the sake of our show today that this is really happening. Okay. Because okay. We know that it could be a work. Lesnar has not signed. Reigns is not quite over enough. Cena looks to be getting the U.S. title and probably Daniel Bryan or Ziggler or a combination of the two in a marriage will get the Intercontinental title. How could I forget that, Christ?
Right, right.
They can main event house shows as champions that way. This is another rumor that I've heard. Mm-hmm. That would lead me to believe that they wanted to sign Lesnar like that and not put the belt on Reigns. That's what I feel like, and keep some sort of feud going. Now, he has not signed. They want him urgently to sign tomorrow.
As of last week.
Right. They want him to sign on Monday night, Monday the 23rd. Because by the 29th, they need to figure out what to do with that match. And if Reigns wins the title in a babyface fashion, I know it. He is going to get booed vociferously out of that building. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it looks like, will be involved.
Great. I love The Rock, but...
That worked really good at Royal Rumble, as you recall.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to think to myself, when they were here in Nashville, mm-hmm. You think the reason why he stormed off and flew off in his private jet was because they could not decide on how to, or they could not decide on his contract at that point? Do you think that?
Yes.
Seems to me that it legitimizes what people have been saying.
Well, that could be part of an angle too, but... I think the reason for the storm off, now that I think about it, is sign it before your other contract ends. Obviously, it's in his best interest for his contract to end. I believe it ends on the first day of April would be the end, I think. And then he could see what Dana White had to say, what Bellator had to say, and compare it to Vince. That's the smart thing to do. Brock Lesnar is very much like Brock Lesnar in real life, is the character. Mm-hmm. He really is that guy, and that's why he plays it so well, and he will not give up an advantage and be a fool, and he will most likely not sign. They will have to figure out a match finish, and if they re-sign him, he could get the belt back, but if I were them, I'd re-sign him, and then next year they want to set an attendance record. They say it's 100,000. But it's 85,000 is really what they want. That the actual attendance record for them is 78,000. They play like it's 93. Those are both lies. Okay. If they do 75, they need a big main event. So check this out. Sting versus Undertaker. The Rock versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And title matches involving John Cena with the U.S. belt, Daniel Bryan with the Intercontinental belt, and then you still could and then you have a Triple H match you can throw in there against whomever you choose.
How about a unification match between Cena and Bryan for the unification of the U.S. and Intercontinental titles?
So they need Lesnar, if you look at any of those scenarios, to fill that building. That, to me, is the key. They'll re-sign him. They'll re-sign him because... He's 41, and he doesn't want to keep. They'll re-sign him. but he's going to play games until he gets what he wants, and they will give him what he wants. Because if Reigns would be over like Dusty Rhodes in Florida, this wouldn't be happening, brother. But he ain't. Okay? And that's the one piece of the puzzle of this 18-month plan that didn't work out. Reigns didn't get over. I mean, he's over, but he's not like he's over.
He's not like white heat, you know.
There ain't no heat. There's heat. He, you know, if you want to talk about Raw a little bit, his exchange with Heyman was outstanding, actually. Too little.
It was good.
Too late.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Well, there's a couple things, and thank you for that. The, you know, Raw had a couple really good hits on it. You know, that was one. I think this week in WWE, you know, the sit-down with Brock Lesnar's are always good whenever he is in that element where they can chop up, you know, promo footage, and he's sitting down and he's doing his thing, and he's not coming across as an over-the-top wrestling character. He's coming across as a complete badass UFC-style shoot interview. You know, that's what he does best. In terms of Roman Reigns, yeah, you're right. It's a little bit too late, in my opinion. Although, I think they can still have a really good match. I mean, if the main event in SmackDown this week wasn't a indicator of Roman Reigns having a bad match, I mean, him and Seth Rollins this week were on fire. That was a really good match.
Yeah.
So it can be done. And for people and doubters, look at that match. You know, I believe that he can go.
He can.
Now, how can he go against a guy like Brock Lesnar? And if you asked me last year's, you know, Undertaker Lesnar match was odd. It was really odd.
It was like, poor.
Yeah. Like I didn't even know what to think about that match. I didn't know what to think about that match while it was going on, and I sure as hell didn't know what to think after the match was over. I was like, what did I just see? I was completely like, whoa.
Well, to me, that's Vince McMahon at his best. A guy comes into the office, he says, I can't do it today. I'm Undertaker, I'm very hurt, I'm not ready to go. It's not going to be a CM Punk or Triple H or Shawn Michaels level WrestleMania main event. And McMahon goes, what can I do? This match is going to bomb and the crowd will turn on it. Lesnar goes over. Everyone is shocked. He plays that ace card he always had in his pocket. I think that had a lot to do with that decision. Mm. He knew that match was going to be rough. That match is rough. But unlike what internet marks like to say, a match is not a match in the sense of the match itself. A match is the angle, the build-up, the promos, the match, and the finish, and the crowd reactions. And when you add it all up, the only part that was lacking was like 18 or 19 minutes of the match. Mm-hmm. Now, we all want to, as internet smarks, we want to go, hey, we take this stuff seriously and we rate these matches technically, but that's just an internet thing. In the end of the day, do you want to watch an incredible five-star match with the Young Bucks, or do you want to watch Dusty Rhodes cut a minute and a half long promo? Probably Dusty Rhodes. Right. I mean, because, you know, it's all about the promo to me. You know, that's something that's lacking. The technical ability is wonderful. I'm getting off track, but...
No, you're right. You're right.
That match was worth it,
honestly. Yeah, it's... You're right. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it all pans out. Yeah. I still feel like you. That may be the case. He may be, you know, in terms of last year's WrestleMania, I still firmly believe that it was a network pop that needed to happen, and Vince signed off on it. But well,
let me ask you this, sir. Let's just change roles for a moment.
Okay.
Al John.
Yes.
Who goes over, Undertaker or Bray Wyatt?
That's a question I was going to pose to you, to be honest.
I told you we'd change roles.
Bray Wyatt. Two WrestleMania losses in a row. And I don't want it sentimental to see it. I mean, I feel like this is the worst thing they could possibly do, because you want Undertaker. I feel I'd love Undertaker to pass the torch to Bray Wyatt and this be, you know, be his going off to the sunset, you know, see you later, Undertaker. You know, right. But in you know, and the other part of me wants Undertaker to win to kind of cement and say, okay, let's feel, have that feel good moment, like as Brock Lesnar said in his down promo, this is the feel good moment, right? The feel good moment for Undertaker, and he can ride off in the sunset. But I feel that they need to start building Bray Wyatt to be that supernatural kind of mysticism character and have that lore started for Bray Wyatt so that the next 20 years he can have a good run at WWE, you know? And so, I don't know.
Lately, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's all great stuff. Don't get me wrong. You're talking about the buildup for an incredible angle. This is great. I mean, you know, you've got the legend that is The Undertaker, and you have Bray Wyatt. How would you book that? Who goes over? I think if we're going to do what the passing of the torch, which this may very well be, then Undertaker may do the favors for Bray Wyatt, you know, and I don't know. And then maybe he rides off into the sunset, you know.
Not if they want to get 100,000 in that building next year.
You're right.
You need to have Sting Undertaker. Good Lord, what if you'd have done that in 1998?
Oh,
imagine how much money that would have been.
Well,
it'd still be counting that money.
Do you think Sting is going to be? Well, I feel like we need to do this. You know, WrestleMania is only a few days away, and we have a pre-show that we might do. We might have a really cool panel too, so we can table that. But that is food for thought for sure. I mean, what? Really quick, now you ask me. How about you? What do you say for this?
I see Taker going over. You know, Brian, good Lord, Bray Wyatt, his, in a weird way, reminds me of Razor Ramon, because he can do jobs, and it doesn't seem to affect him. I don't see him long-term being a champion. I do see him long-term being a character like Sting or Undertaker. He doesn't need
Foley.
Right. Undertaker needs the win to set up next year. Sting beats Triple H. Undertaker beats Wyatt. And then you reward Wyatt with a really good run through the summer. How about Wyatt versus Reigns? That's not too bad.
Ooh, right? I like that.
I don't know.
Good job. No, that's good.
I'm trying to help him out here. But you need Lesnar in this situation again. But anyway, Wyatt will be a babyface at some point, which is another damn mistake. Because they have nothing but baby faces, and they have no good heels. Do you know why Ultimate Warrior failed in his title run? Do you know why he failed? He didn't have any heels. He had Ted DiBiase and Mr. Perfect. These guys are mid-carders. You've cemented the fact that they're a mid-carder, and he didn't have anyone to wrestle except for Hogan. They gave him Savage later, and they brought up Slaughter. They had no heels is my point. And that will happen to anyone in that position. And turning Wyatt babyface, which is clearly where they're going with this, because who do you see every week cutting killer promos? Him. And that's how they're getting him over. And Undertaker's just sort of a name that's brought up. The human being is like probably chilling out in Memphis or wherever he's at, you know. And
yeah,
it's Wyatt.
Yeah, unfortunately, they just haven't. Yeah, unfortunately, they just haven't done a good job of building up any heels. And the heels that they do have, they're not building them up in a program that is title-worthy. I mean, look at The Miz. The Miz is a great heel, but he's not in a program for the title. Same goes with Stardust, you know?
And, well, he did, technically.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. But,
we just don't feel like he's going to win.
Well, yeah, we just, you know, and that's unfortunate. And let's see, Bad News Barrett, really? Right now, he's still coming out to a pop, a good one, because people love to say, you know, I'm afraid I got some bad news, you know?
Know what? They blew it with him a long time ago.
Yeah.
They could have put the belt on him in 2010.
When he was with the Nexus, it was great.
When he was a greenhorn. Yep. Now, I know, you know, they blew with him a long time ago. They need to do another how about this for an angle, brother? Another Nexus-like angle. It's been 5 years. Why not with those NXT guys that are so fucking awesome? Right? So how about those guys who are not green? I think that's what happened. They were like, God, these guys are green. We could have nothing but main events, but we can't put them with anybody. How about that for an angle?
Yeah, TNT. Well, there you go. I mean, you got Axelmania, you know?
No. It's not... You can't lose. Let me tell you something I haven't said in this podcast before.
Go for it. Say it.
Shawn Michaels was backstage. He was going to do the favor for Rey Mysterio Jr. He pulls Ray aside. He says, I'm doing this favor for you, but let me tell you something. I need to let you know the secret of wrestling. He's like, well, what's the secret? Wins and losses count. That's the secret. So if I lose to you, you better damn well not be jobbing to Chavo Guerrero, Paul London, Great Khali. Don't do it. You know, I'm putting you over. You hold this belt with pride because I'm losing you because I'm on my way out. But wins and losses count. And you go ahead and count how many lost singles losses Shawn Michaels had from 1993 to when he broke his back badly in early 98. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a pinfall 1, 2, 3. He got the loss to Steve Austin. He lost a ladder match with Ramon, but that was on a ladder, and he got his win back anyway. He lost to Psycho Sid, and that's it. It's just like two lost pinfall losses in 5 years.
Yeah, I'm not the only one that's heard that before. You know, yeah, wins and losses do count, and it counts in the mindset of the fans. I mean, look at the damage that has been done to people like Dolph Ziggler, for example.
Oh, God.
You can't believe that he will win because he never gets a great win.
And then when he does win, you go, oh, well, he'll lose next week.
Yep. There's just way too much wrestling on TV that they have to fill.
Yeah,
and they don't bring in these curtain jerker jobbers, these jabrones that, you know.
Roddy Piper, besides the loss to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 8, go ahead and find me a loss. Mm-hmm. Before 92, go ahead and find me a Roddy Piper job. Go ahead.
One on one.
You ain't got any.
There are no
jobs. Secret of wrestling.
Secret of wrestling. That's how you keep the wrestling character happening, you know?
Right.
Well, you know, like I said, I think there were some great hits on Raw.
Sure. It was a little, to me, stupid this week. in my own personal, and this is, I'm being honest when I say this, in my personal way of... In memoriam to Pero Aguayo Jr., I would like to play heel now.
Okay.
on Raw.
This is your spot.
Okay. All right. You're showing me the same. All right. I'm going to turn heel now. You ready?
Go for it.
Okay. You're showing me the same shit every week. Okay. You're not writing enough stuff. All right, I'm watching this thing for 3 hours every week. I do a podcast, so I'm forced to watch every single moment of the show now. And you're going to give me the same thing every week? You know, this is garbage. No wonder Reigns isn't over. People are annoyed with your show. Okay, I'm done.
That was awesome. Way to go. I wish I had my damn... applause track. Holy crap, man. Hold on a second. Let me find my damn applause track. Here you go. Oh, God.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. When I turn heel on the podcast from now on, I'm going to put on a black glove. Because let me tell you something about Mid-South Wrestling, which is the greatest wrestling I ever watched.
Is this a coal miner's glove?
No, it's a black glove. I'm going to tell you what it means.
Oh, okay, go for it.
If you're Ted DiBiase, this is long before the Million Dollar Man. If you're Ted DiBiase and you have a beard and kind of long hair, you're a good guy. Okay, you're probably fighting the bad guys. But if you're Ted DiBiase and you shave your beard, and you put on a black glove, you got a problem. That's the bad guy, Ted DiBiase. Sometimes he would like be a tweener in a match, and he'd put on a glove during the match. Like, oh no!
Here comes the glove.
It's so the glove simple, of doom. It's so great, because when you put on the glove, the crowd's like, oh no!
He's calling for it. He's calling for it. It's an audible.
Load the glove, as if you could load a glove. With it. I mean you could, but I mean, it would be big, and I don't know.
Load the glove up with a rocket fuel. That's what I was saying. Just do it. More WWE news. Now, you mentioned the fact that The Rock may be involved in the main event. That's interesting. That's interesting enough.
They should have saved that, what they did at the Rumble, for whatever. I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be there next year. You know. But Lesnar's going to have to work a little lighter. Okay, he's going to hurt that dude.
He is going to hurt him, for sure. Did you hear the fact that Chris Jericho may be wanting to help out developmental people in NXT? Did you hear about this?
I did hear that. I think that would be outstanding. I know Samoa Joe will probably be doing some developmental work, which is kind of odd. And Rhino's already done it. And what people probably don't know is that Edge, Christian, Rhino actually were friends. Just struck up an odd friendship. So Jericho is very much a part of that sort of clique, and I could see him doing that. And he's been a great heel for years and years, and and babyface. If you ever watch his matches with Ultimo Dragon, Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Fantastic in Japan, and his ECW stuff, and his WCW stuff, and his WWE stuff, and his heel work. He's done all sorts of different things through the years, and he would be an excellent trainer. That could show so many things.
Jericho says, quote, "I would like to work with Daniel Bryan as a heel."
Yeah.
He told Scott Fishman of the Miami Herald, promoting his Road to Jericho DVD, which, by the way, you can see a preview on the WWE Network.
Yeah.
He says, quote, I think I can bring something out of him that it hasn't been seen. It's one of the things the company really doesn't have is strong heels, and maybe they have strong heels, but not the way Jericho would be. If the circumstances were right, that would be interesting to come back as a heel. And he talks about working in NXT, and he says, quote, "There are a lot of guys there I would like to work with, like Finn Balor. I would like to work with Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville and even Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Reigns I'd like to work with," Jericho says. "There are enough guys for me to work after 5 years if I wanted to. It's just a matter of making sure the timing is right for both sides and making sure you can give 1,000%. God, I love Chris Jericho. So, you know, and once again, it's just, he's a guy that, you know, just loves to, and I say he gives back, but, you know, he says that he doesn't really give back. He just wants to do some good work.
Yeah.
Angles that make sense. Wow, what a great concept. Angles that make sense.
or that aren't, like, you know, thrown out and extended for long periods of time for no reason. Like the Orton Rollins thing. You know, going back quickly, I will get back to your point, but on Raw, they're extending these angles long because they've finished, their build is finished, and they just have to put anything on the show. They wasn't properly done. I mean, I don't know what exactly happened. He's got a great point. You want an angles trajectory to go at a good pace and clip, and then build right at the right moment for a high spot. People think a high spot is a big flip. A high spot is when Hulk Hogan slams Andre the Giant. They go, "Well, that's not a good high spot." Yes, it is. They've been building it up for a freaking year.
Right.
And that was the high spot, because that was the moment that you thought Hulk Hogan can maybe do this. It was built that way. They're not. Where's the high spot? When does why would Orton beat up Rollins to start?
Yeah.
Why is AJ Lee pinned clean?
Yep. That's what I don't understand, is that
I was strange. You know,
here's what I would do, okay? Fantasy Booker time. You all have the people involved in the main event, you know, one person out there fighting, let's say, you know, Foxy, okay? So you've got, you know, Foxy against whoever, and one of them is doing commentary, and the other one comes out and it, you know, does a whole big thing, and then, you know, there's a screw job in place, and, you know, someone right. gets, you know, I mean, it's not that hard, but you just don't have the two, like, literally have physical confrontations leading up to WrestleMania. You have the two kind of tease that there's going to be a confrontation, but you don't put them in a confrontation.
Right.
You know? And, or you don't have physical contact, I should say. There's a confrontation, just right. no physical contact. I'm sorry.
So she beats her clean. So I'm like, oh, so the Bellas are better than AJ Lee. Well, I don't need to watch.
Yeah.
Stupid. What's the point? It was stupid. Was that some dumb punishment on her?
I don't know. So speaking of angles, how about TNA?
How about Kurt
commentator? Angle. How about that Kurt Angle? TNA Impact. You see, wow, Kurt Angle's title reign. He hasn't had a title in TNA for about three years.
Wow. Yeah, I guess right. before the Hogan era.
Yeah.
Has it been that long?
It was 2011. So.
Oh, so he did have one within the Hogan era. But,
yeah.
I've been waiting for this to air. You know, I read about this phenomenal match before we started doing this podcast.
Yes.
That's how long ago these are taped. you know, by the way, Lashley Angle.
Yes. Great.
Finally, Lashley has that incredible main event that he's had in him. It's unfortunate that this Lashley that we have now couldn't be the one we experienced in 2007 when he was getting one of the biggest pushes I've ever seen.
Oh, talk about the rocket pack strapped to the right. back.
Yeah. And, you know, with Trump and McMahon and head shaving and Umaga and everything. And it was great. But, they had a phenomenal match. I don't like to rate matches because it gets so fickle. But basically, if someone says a match is between 4 or 5 stars, if Scott Keith, for example, says that, or Keller, it's like, it's really good, watch it, is all that means to me. So just to say, it's really good and watch it. Angle and Lashley. Angle is the new champion. It looks like he's going to hold the belt for a while. He did sign a new contract with them. That is something they finally were able to keep someone. And if you think about it, they probably said, God, we got to get rid of everybody, but we can sign Angle. Got to get rid of Sting, Hogan, blah, 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 blah. All these guys, some of the smaller guys are gone. And it looks like what they're going to do is Angle against Eric Young.
Mm-hmm.
They've taped that angle. And he's a guy that's worked very hard for that company for years and years, and that should be so. To be a babyface, Angle is champion now. Lashley looks like he's probably going to go back in the shoot fighting and, you know, whatever, you know. But you never know. But I feel like Angle's the only way to go. Angle's tremendous. Angle can have a 4-star match with Bobby Lashley. The Impact show is getting better and better every week. They've now had 2 straight shows with killer matches.
Absolutely.
And it's probably their best. Just anybody, look, Impact's heat with the public has really dissipated. We talked about their figures. You're reeling them off a few weeks back. You know, their audience has been cut more than in half from the network switch, although they're all over it. And they probably, you know, I think people know where it's at now. But they haven't been giving the fans what they've wanted for years and years now. Excuse me. Now is the time to come back to Impact. Tommy yeah. Dreamer, Matt Hardy are there to help out the young guys. The young guys are getting better. Jeff Hardy's still around. Kurt Angle's the babyface champion. Eric Young, Rockstar Spud coming up. All these guys, EC3. There's a lot of good stuff going on.
I'm a big DJZ fan, just so you know. You know, my Filipino brother. Over there.
Well, yeah.
The bromance. Come on, man. Let's get the bromance going.
Well, who would you say? never mind. I was going to say something.
No, it's all right. Sorry, I ruined your train of thought here.
You threw me.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Cut a promo.
I'll tell you something about TNA wrestling.
Wrestling.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I think I can cut a better promo than some of those guys. And I'm not patting myself on Dixie. On the back either.
Well, you know Dixie, you know, we should have her on the show. In fact, here's my thing, you know, being that we are a local show, you know, and I feel we do a damn good show. I listen to other wrestling podcasts, and I believe we do a damn good show. Production values are great.
When I watch and listen to other ones, I think we're really good.
I think we're really damn good. I think we should be the outlet for TNA. You know, they're just right down the street, for Christ's sake. You know?
Yeah. I'll tell a Surge story if you'd like.
You can tell whatever story you want. It's your platform. Go for it.
Surge comes in to where I'm working, okay? This is a couple of years ago. So.
Well, he was on TV.
Right. So Surge was in with this Dixie Carter's husband. And he was on the show in 2010 or 11. And Surge is like, "Hey, did you see me on the show?" And I said, "Yeah, man, you got stiff. The guy gave you a pretty stiff punch." I forget who punched him. Was it AJ?
Yeah, I think maybe AJ. He was wearing his jeans, of course.
Right. And Surge wears fantastic shirts. Now, I'm a fashionista, as you probably know, and I'm always dressed very strange and different on this show. Like today, I have on my Bathory t-shirt, my suit, I have my gloves of metal. I'm wearing dress slacks, as you can see. I go for it. I have my hair slicked back. And Surge is a fashionista, too, and he wears fantastic Robert Graham, Thomas Dean. These are $300 shirts. These are expensive. So that's how we know each other, okay? It's nothing more than a shirt thing. And anyway, he goes, "Hey, but did you see the next week when I got him back?" And I'm like, "I don't think I saw that one." But so he was just like, "I got my heat back," though, was his point. And that told me that Surge and Dixie take that show very seriously. You know, it's not like an absentee owner kind of, "Oh, let's give our daughter something to do" crap. They're into it. He's like, "I got my heat back, and even though I got punched, you know, coming back at me like, hey, you know." And I was like, "Yo, I'm sorry. I made a mistake." He's a pretty big guy, by the way. You, if you ever meet him, you know, he's not small.
Yeah.
But those guys are really cool. And look, you gotta fall down to rise from the ashes. And that could be what we're seeing right now, if you really think about it, because Ring of Honor just doesn't have the production values. You know, it's just not there. And
it's better.
It's a better product.
And, well, Ring of Honor is getting better in terms of what they're trying to put out there. You know,
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is something I wanted to interject.
Okay.
And this deals with Larry Zbyszko and Bruno Sammartino.
Oh, we forgot to mention that for the WWE news.
And it deals with Ring of Honor somehow. This guy I know. This guy's name is Mike. And Mike's from PA. He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, he's one of those guys. Mike's in his late 50s. When you shake Mike's hand, it's like a monster hand. This guy's obviously a tough guy from PA. And he always talks about Bruno with me because he knows I know about wrestling. And I said, "Hey, Bruno's getting inducted in." Is inducting Larry Zbyszko into the Hall of Fame. He's so old school, he really didn't know who Zbyszko was, because I think he watched Bruno in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Bruno, for anyone that doesn't know, sold out Madison Square Garden, I think, 43 straight times, if you can imagine, as the main event.
Right.
And then he tells me, he goes, "Geez, man," I'll try to do his exit, "I was watching this wrestling the other day on TV. Good God, it was awful. I mean, it looked terrible. They had no product, like the production was terrible, and the wrestlers were just awful. It was just the worst." Now, I thought he was talking about a local promotion, and I won't mention the name, but I didn't know, you know, you probably know what I'm thinking, but I'm like, maybe he's talking about that. Yeah. He's like, "There was nobody in the audience. And that's what made me think it, because, you know, they have a lower draw for that particular promotion. And I go, what was it? And I said, was it? And he said, no, that wasn't it. And I said, was it this? And I said, was it Ring of Honor? And he goes, that's what it was called, Ring of Honor. Good God, they're terrible. Like, that's the worst, fakest garbage I've ever seen. They don't have any lights. And I'm like, there's no one in the crowd. And that's his that's an old school guy's perception,
right,
of the current product, you know. Well, and
hard to argue that.
He's like, they're terrible. I'm like, well, they're not that bad. No, they are. It looks so fake. And I think that choreographed aerial stuff comes across really bad for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, well, they don't, you know, this past week's episode of ROH, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of selling going on. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for me to say. I mean, I like it. Okay, here's some things about ROH. Mm-hmm. That I liked this week. Well, okay. We're not even done with Impact, actually.
I'm so sorry.
Let's go back to Impact, though.
I screwed that up.
Because my brain is on Impact, so I got to go back to my notes. But Impact, I really liked the fact that they brought Ultimate X back. However, they didn't give it enough time. And I think that if they're going to dedicate and have an Ultimate X match, it needs to take up a good bulk of the show, because that is one of the Ultimate X in that pay-per-view is probably one of my must-see TNA shows that they do every year. Agree or disagree?
Well, yeah, it'd be one. Yeah, but they treat them like the Jay Brone World Cup.
Yeah, you
know? And that's the problem.
That's true.
You know?
Well, the Wolves. This particular X, you know, thing that they had was actually a tag team tornado match.
Right, and that was awesome.
And it was good. You know, I like the Wolves a lot. I really do.
Oh,
and
they're the best.
And they did a good show. The other highlight for me, of course, was Kurt Angle, as you said, Kurt Angle, and an amazing, amazing match. Definitely worth the watch.
Let me say this about the way they booked that stuff. Hold on. Let me just say this.
Oh, here it comes.
So you want me to care about the X division now, but you only want me to care for a week. You know, you're just like that fucking girl who's having a bad week. You meet her at the club, you go home with her, and then she doesn't call you back. That's how you treat me. You want a rating for one day? Well, you know what? Build up your people all week. Build them up all month and all year. Don't just go and say, oh, the cruiserweights matter, and then there are a bunch of Jay Brones the rest of the week, like Dean Malenko getting beat up like Sid Vicious. Every week you treat me like that. Now you want me to buy it. Now you want me to be interested. Well, you can't just turn it off and on because you're playing with my emotions, just like that girl. Okay.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So anyway, yeah, TNA, good stuff. Good stuff from TNA.
It's a great show now.
It is a great show. It is.
It really is the best it's been literally in years, in 5 years.
Yeah. You know, in terms of Ring of Honor, you know, they're setting things up, you know, for Supercard of Honor. You know, they've got Jay Briscoe versus Samoa Joe that's going to be happening, you know, and that's cool.
That match will be killer.
That will be a great match.
Now, you know? I've heard rumblings about them wanting, the WWE wanting the Briscoes, and if they take the Briscoes away, now you got a problem.
Right. Well, we'll see what all happens. We'll see what all happens. It is good stuff. It is a good time to watch wrestling. Now, I've got, we talked about TNA, we talked about Ring of Honor, and of course WWE. Let's talk, I mean, you have the Hall of Fame. I think we're going to talk about Larry Zbyszko. You did talk a little bit about that, but the Hall of Fame class is looking pretty damn good.
I think they put in, they're going to good, Tatsumi Fujinami now is in there. Am I wrong about that?
I'll have to look that up. But
I believe he's in there, and I think they're going to have Flair induct him. You might remember the great match he had in 91. I think it was Super Brawl 91, and they did a little belt switch with the WCW and WA belt. They did a feud in WCW, and they did it overseas in New Japan. They brought it back here, and a great wrestler and worker. And from what I understand, they should announce Kevin Nash Monday, or Monday the 23rd, as the last thing. I don't think they want to end it on a sour note with a dead wrestler, you know. And I'm really excited about Zbyszko, only because Bruno will be on. Just like I said before, he still has magnificent reaction for people that remember him. He was so phenomenal.
I was going to say, Living Legend is great. I wasn't necessarily a big fan of how he called matches in WCW,
right.
Which is where a lot of people would remember him from, especially right. from that era, the Monday Night Wars era. But he was a great technician in the ring. And if you're keeping score at home, Macho Man Randy Savage going in. We have Connor the Crusher, who's going to be part of that very special Warrior Award for the Hall of Fame, which is great. Mm-hmm. Alondra Blaze, a.k.a. Medusa, going in for the Divas. Let's see here. And you're right, Japanese legend Tatsumi Fujinami is going to be in there.
Great match Dragon for Sleep.
Exactly. Known as the Dragon, innovator of the Dragon sleeper hold.
Yeah.
So you know.
If you remember, Dragon used to do that.
Ultimo Dragon was great too. Larry Zbyszko being in there as well. Rikishi is in the Hall of Fame. The Bushwhackers, Luke and Butch, which I believe they're going to start probably getting more tag teams in there year after year. And then, as you mentioned, Arnold Schwarzenegger and maybe Diesel is speculated to go in, but not confirmed.
Diesel and not Nash, apparently. Not Kevin Nash, but Diesel. He wanted it to be Kevin Nash, which I agree. Kevin Nash was more popular than Diesel, if you really think about it.
Yep.
Diesel was pretty popular, 95, 96, and then Kevin Nash was extremely popular in 96 to 99.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a huge over guy. Zbyszko, obviously we know him as a commentator and that really kind of awful match he did with Eric Bischoff for the owner at Starrcade 97, the one with Sting Hogan where, it was for ownership of, whether or not they would have an NWO takeover of the Monday Night Show and all that. And they had this pretty terrible match, but I mostly remember him from AWA in the late 80s, early 90s. He was essentially all they had. I mean, they didn't have anybody in AWA. And I recently watched a really strange match from 1990 between Larry Zbyszko as heel champion and a very old and overweight Harley Race, who's quite honestly one of my two or three favorite wrestlers. And it was just interesting to watch, but it was more the ambiance of where that promotion was at the time. And, at the very end of the day, he's all they had. And you could say, hey, that's Vern Gagne's son-in-law, which is what he was. But, but it's the Bruno stuff from 1980. Right. He cuts incredible promos. And it's just odd. He just didn't really go anywhere with that. They drew 34,000 people to Shea Stadium. Okay, I can tell you he did that with Bruno. Now, that's mostly Bruno, but his heel work was unbelievable. And you want to talk about a shocking turn when he turned heel. It was a similar reaction to The Undertaker losing. People were like, wait, Bruno doesn't get jumped? What is this? But that's back when no one turned heel in the middle of their podcast twice or any time. they'd just be there, on the money all the time is who they were. So, yeah, he deserves it, but if you wouldn't have had the Bruno one feud, we wouldn't hear about it. This is about Bruno. This isn't about Larry. No offense to Larry, but this is about getting Bruno on the show, showing that they made nice with him, and that's something Triple H pulled off because him and Vince hated each other for years, Bruno and Vince. But Bruno will give a nice speech. He's a great speaker. He's still around. He's still very cognizant and smart. And the Hall of Fame's stacked up this year. They probably should have spaced this out because the future Hall of Fames are what I'm worrying about. Where will they go in the future? They're running out of people because pretty soon – it won't be long now that you got like Duke the Dumpster Drozzi or somebody.
Well, Maybe, but you know, I think too. I mean, it won't be long. We're gonna have a lot of the WCW, WCCW people, in there. Maybe some of the Mid South guys too. So.
Oh yeah, buddy, Mid South, buddy, you got them all.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, there's a big chance of them growing that roster exponentially. There's still a lot of guys out there that deserve their due. A lot of guys from ECW. that have made a great impact, a lot of people. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That could be a separate episode unto itself.
You mean Shane Douglas will be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's an interesting situation. We'll see.
No, I don't think so.
I'd love to see Shane Douglas in the Hall of Fame, to be honest. And they've treated him right in the WWE Network. I mean, they put him over a few times in some of their top 10 countdown shows.
Yeah, Shane went through a very, and he talks about this at length, so we don't need to do our disclaimer, but he went through a very bad Oxycontin addiction and came out of it. And anybody that can pull that off is very strong, you know. And things are different about him. He did those Ric Flair shoots to try to get his promotion over. The Dean Douglas character was sort of bad. But he got
great at ECW.
He was phenomenal. But if you ever want to have an ECW special, that'll be great, because that's one promotion we never talk about because it's gone. Mm-hmm. That I know a lot about. But I will say this very quickly about Shane Douglas. He was a great champion for ECW. Another great champion was Mike Awesome, and Mike Awesome wasn't that over. They just kind of put the belt on him, because they needed a champion who could have matches. And, maybe in some way that could justify Reigns. I'm doing whatever I can to try to justify Roman Reigns here. Because
I
want wrestling to be more and more popular, so more people ask me about it and more people listen to this show. I'm trying to make this work.
I know. I have to think to myself, is it the smart marks that are really all sour on Reigns? But then I listen to the crowd reaction.
It's a crowd.
And you're like, maybe we're right after all. I don't know.
The crowd reaction tells you everything you need to know. Because if you're getting cheered like a mid-carder who's vying for the Intercontinental title, he gets about the same crowd reaction as, it's not even as good as Ambrose. Or it's definitely not as good as Bryan. It's sometimes not as good as Ziggler. So what's going on?
I don't know. I tell you, when it comes to intensity and passion, connecting with the audience, you saw that with The Rock. You saw that with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You saw that with Shawn Michaels. And you saw that even with Triple H, and with Chris Jericho. They turn it up another notch. And that is something that I see in the ring work of someone like Dolph Ziggler, but he doesn't have the opportunity to go on the mic and do it. Or even John Cena, for crying out loud. John Cena connects with people at a level, and it may not be every person, but at least he's connecting. What I don't see is Roman Reigns. He's trying to play cool. He's trying to be the quiet, intense guy. He does this and does that. He shows the ring work, but does he connect with the fans as a babyface should? No, he doesn't.
I will say something odd to you.
Go for it.
I'm starting to like him on my own, aside from our cynical outlook sometimes, aside from our fandom, our markdom, our analysis. I'm beginning to like him, and I can't help but think it might be those beautiful blue eyes.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Having said that,
sorry.
We're going to do our promo of the week. Is that okay with you? We're going to get the hell out of here.
I just want to say I drank 7 of these this morning.
Oh, my God, man. You need to slow down, bro.
No.
Yes.
You
got to slow down. WrestleMania is coming up. You and I are going to do a show. I'm interested in maybe hearing what you all have to say. Check out the show notes. Call the hotline. Email us. Do us voicemails, whatever. We definitely want to hear from you
Yeah, John, I had a friend of mine go, that's really interesting you're doing the show. I wish I could, like, call in and ask a question. And I'm like, well, call in and ask a question. There's a hotline. I don't think people are aware. There's a hotline. There's all kind of stuff. This is a real thing we do. He goes, you know so much about wrestling history and stuff. I wish there was a way we could use your wrestling knowledge to do something. I go, yeah, like we could do a wrestling podcast. Oh, wait, that's what I keep telling you. Right. We're getting the word out. I'm sorry I've been so heelish.
No, it's fine. Once again, there's ways for you to connect with us. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast, our Pro Wrestling Cast website, ProWrestlingCast.com. You have got Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, and the freaking hotline, for heaven's sake.
Call
us, leave a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC.
That's play your voicemail on the air.
We might play it on the damn air. 615-933-9792. It's very simple. It's in the show notes of every podcast. You can find us on YouTube and iTunes. Like and subscribe to our damn show and spread the word that Pro Wrestling Cast, stand up for wrestling for Christ's sake, and like and subscribe to our feeds on YouTube and iTunes. So we're going to leave you with one of the best wrestling promos ever.
Yeah, you want to talk about building up a match with a promo. You want to talk about building a whole match on one promo. You know, making people excited about a feud, about a match, about a main event. Well, actually, I don't think it was the main event of the show, but this is truly an extraordinary moment.
This is from IPW's Jumpin' Jeff Farmer, who proves that he is widely one of the best talkers in the history of pro wrestling.
Come in full force.
I'm just going to let the promo do the talking.
How about that?
Promo of the week.
Earlier we talked to Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. Let's go now to that interview. Folks, there's Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. Jeff, a while back, what a match you had with Motley.
Yep. Probably the hardest match I ever had in my life. But I don't like it when things aren't going my way. Motley Crue, you turned the tables on me. You turned the tables in a wrong way. You've got me mad now. I've stood around. I've listened to everything you had to say. I've did everything necessary. But when you turn around and you backstab me one way or another, and you cheat me out of what's rightfully mine, that's when I get angry. Now I'm the one doing the challenging. I'm issuing a challenge to you, Motley Crue. Get in the ring with me. This time, I'm going full force.
Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. Now let's go to the ring.
The best part is, like, he starts all awful, and then about maybe half a minute to 45 seconds, and you think he's okay, and then he fumbles some more. if anyone has a chance, try to find the Motley Crue promo that they played later. That's also very interesting.
Yes.
I've actually seen the match they eventually had, and it's,
Yeah, it's a barn burner. It's a slobber knocker.
Well, I'm glad that built up on YouTube over the years, and now it's widely known. That is not the Jeff Farmer that played Fake Sting in 1996, so everyone knows. That's a guy named Jeff Farmer, and he's coming full force.
He's coming full force. Once again, guys, WrestleMania week is coming up. Be sure to check out our special programming. And until next week, I'm Al John, on behalf of Stephen Anthony. We'll see you next time, and don't forget to tuck your head. Word. I'm coming full force.
Coming full force.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome.
Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.